And the last few weeks, we've looked at different great examples of people praying. We saw Hezekiah's prayer last time, and before that, we looked at David's prayers, and who else did we look at? Solomon's, Moses, a few others. We looked at prayers in the book of Acts, and we saw some things. You know, those are great examples of prayers, and we can learn from. We saw that when a lot of times these men or women would pray, that they would praise God. They would remember the things that he had done for them already. They would be thankful. They would have prayers of thanksgiving. They would make requests, and they would pray for others, which is intercession, which is a big part of prayer. And then it says in Timothy that we are to pray for kings and for those in authority so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, which is a pretty good thing to do, right? We want to live a quiet and peaceable life. Most people do anyway. So that's an important thing. So I wanted to go back and look a little bit at things we looked at about how do we pray and then what things we are to pray for. So Matthew 21, we're going to start. And verse 22, this is after the incident with the fig tree and, you know, Jesus Christ goes up to it and sees there's no buds on it, and he curses it, and it dies. And then his disciples are, you know, shocked at what happened, and they asked him how he did it. And he said, "And all things whatsoever," in verse 22, sorry, "and whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." So believing, we know, is a big part of prayer. I don't want to get into the nuts and bolts of this section here, but we know that there's two things. We know that we have to pray according to what God says, and sometimes in the instance where the fig tree died, there would probably be revelation, and we'd have to believe the revelation. Well, let's go back to Matthew 18 and verse 19. It says, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is heaven. For there where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And so when two believers are together and they agree and they're praying together in one accord and harmony according to God's word, you know, God's going to do it. Now, we saw that a lot in the book of Acts. We saw numerous occasions where they came together and they were in agreement. They were of one accord. They agreed on things. And when they saw... when they did this, they saw great things happen. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. We'll see one incident of that. Chapter 2 of Acts, at the end of the day of Pentecost. It says in verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly." Okay, well, we should read verse 41, I guess. "Then they gladly received his word. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they," the 3,000 souls, "continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostles." So, you know, they were of one accord. They were in agreement. They were believing together and praying together, and they saw great things happen. And let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. So when we pray, from the heart. We don't pray any memorized prayers. I remember when I was a kid, I'd get in bed and we'd go, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take." It's not really accurate, but it's an easy prayer for a kid. I still remember it from 70 years ago, 75 years, whatever. You know, we're not to do that. We're to pray from our hearts. We pray according to the word. In John chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." So there's another thing. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. He told us to. He said that's what we're to do. We're to pray to the Father in his name. So that's a great thing to understand. So we know when we pray, we're to be thankful. We're to pray from our heart. We're to pray with believing. And we're to be in agreement when we're praying together for things. And we learn those things, and it's a great way to live life. Prayer is a great lever, as we saw in Acts many times. And in the Old Testament even, right? We saw many times where they prayed, and you know, Hezekiah, he prayed for the people, and they were forgiven and healed. Now I want to talk about, you know, what we pray for. And that's kind of an interesting subject because it's pretty broad. But I thought I would do it along the lines of we all learn, or hopefully we've all learned, the keys on how to receive anything from God. And they are what is available, how to receive what you ask for, what to do with it once you receive it. We have to have our wants and needs parallel, and we understand that God's ability is equal to his willingness. So what is available? And we know that many times people pray for things that are not available. And then they say, well, it doesn't work. Well, on the other hand, sometimes something is available and people don't think that God would ever think to do that for them. So they don't ask for it. So we need to know exactly what is possible and what is available when we pray to God. So let's go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 14, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." So, you know, what's his will? His word, right? We find out what's available in God's word. Or if he were to speak directly to us. You know, nowhere in the Bible does it talk about automobiles. But what if you needed an automobile? You know, so, but it does say he meets our needs, doesn't it? You know, sometimes the Bible is general, but then we need specifics. And if it can still line up if it's a need, certainly. But the book was written 2,000 years ago and beyond. So some of the modern things that we may think we need or we do need are not mentioned there, but it's according to needs, right? So it says here, if we have confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And the word confidence is the word boldness. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So we can have that confidence if we ask according to his will. Seems like a simple thing, doesn't it? And yet, who knows? Let's go to Exodus chapter 15. We'll look at some specifics. Exodus 15. And verse 26. It says, and he said, if thou wilt diligently, this is Moses speaking on behalf of God to the people. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. It's one of the redemptive names of God. But it's something that, you know, is a trait of God. He is the God that heals. You know, right in the very beginning, at the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing that he really said, you know, he said, you know, he's going to send the seed of the woman back. And that's what man needed to be saved, to be healed, to be made whole again. And certainly he did that. Let's go to Psalm 30. So throughout the Old Testament and throughout the Bible, God has always been a God that heals. He has promised healing. He's made it available. And again, you know, when something's made available, you have to avail yourself of it. You know, it's not just, well, you just get it with not doing anything. In the case of needing healing, you have to ask God, or you have to go to God, and you have to believe that he will heal you. Psalm 30, verse 1, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. That's David, you know. He said, God healed me. He asked him, and God healed him. 3 John 2, we all know, but it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I don't think I could ever forget that verse ever. You know, but it's so healing is available. Yet there are lots of Christians that don't necessarily think that you can get healed or that you can pray for it for whatever reasons. Just like some Christians don't believe that you can speak in tongues, and so they would never ask God to show them how or you know, accept when it's made available. Yet God says he wants us to do that, right? So we have to remember that. And the word prosper there is another word that's very interesting, because it means to go in a good way, right? Go in a good way. It doesn't mean, you know, sometimes people see it and say, oh man, I'm going to get rich. I'm going to believe God and I'm going to get rich. You may, but that's not what it means. So healing comes in many forms. And there are many things available. You know, healing doesn't necessarily have to be physical, does it? It could be mental. It could be spiritual. It could be many ways. And sometimes those are even greater than physical healings. You know, physical healings can be dramatic, for sure, because you see it. And a mental healing sometimes is not. But let's go to Philippians chapter 4. chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So there's something on how to pray, right? Don't be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. And but then it says, and the peace of God will keep your hearts. And that's another thing that we can pray for if we need it, is peace, isn't it? You know, that's peace. That's serenity at times. That's an important thing to have in our life, is that be peaceful. How many times before I got into Word did I really want peace? And then for a while, you know, it took me a while to figure out how to stay peaceful and how not to let things upset me. And, you know, so every once in a while we'll get a blind side, you know, we'll get hit by something we don't expect and it shakes us up. And that's when we really need the peace of God. You know, when we turn to God and we say, okay, God, I need your peace. I need to have that quietness in my life. Then, of course, you know, we could ask God for knowledge and wisdom. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And God is certainly a great teacher. I remember Greg teaching about Samuel and how he learned to receive revelation. And, you know, he would hear a voice saying, Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. And he'd get up and he'd go see Eli. And Eli said, go to bed. And then he'd get up again and say, did you call me? He said, go to bed. And then finally he says, well, you know, it's God. Listen to him. Answer him. And God really taught him how, you know. I mean, Eli helped, but he said, okay, now you got to learn to listen to God. And God taught him. And God will teach us if we ask him. He's the best teacher of all. Epistle of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. And this is part of a prayer. It says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He wants us to have that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your heart being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So God wants us to know those things, and he can teach us those things, and we can pray for him to show us those things in our lives. Right? We can. We can learn how to listen to God. We can learn how to be spiritually aware and spiritually acute in our understanding of what's going on around us. And who's around us and what's going on with them. You know, we can ask and pray God and he can show us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Now, this is a great prayer in the book of Ephesians. And it shows us some really cool things. It's Paul's prayer, but it's by revelation. So it's really God's prayer for the saints. And it starts, we're going to start in verse 14. It says, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father. And then Lord Jesus Christ is not in the text. So it just says, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So that's Paul's prayer for us, but it could be our prayer for us too, couldn't it? That we're strengthened by might in the inner man. You know, we have strength, we get strength. Sometimes we don't think we have strength for things, but God can give us strength and we can pray for that. That's available to pray for. that Christ may dwell in your hearts by believing, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, I thought about this, and I thought about being rooted and grounded in love. You know, we're supposed to love, but it's, you know, if we don't think we're loved, it's hard to love, right? If you don't think you're loved, it's hard to love others. But we should know that God loves us. He tells us in his word. He tells us in manifestations. But we can pray to see that love and understand that love and grow in that love. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. See, we can pray to understand that better. We can understand, we can pray to God that he can show us and help us with that. And then it says, and now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know, I think about that, and I think about, okay, I pray for stuff, but that doesn't limit God. You know, he can go beyond. He can go way beyond anything we ask. You think about the Old Testament sometimes, some of the things that they asked for, and God went beyond. He went beyond what, you know, Israel moaned and complained in the wilderness because they were running out of food, and God gave them a perfect food for the whole time they were in the wilderness. That was way more than what they asked for. When they asked to lighten the burden in Egypt, they didn't ask to get freed from slavery. They just asked for lighter burden. They wanted a day off and some straw to make the bricks. And God said, well, I'll do better than that. He did. He went over and above. He goes over and above for us many times. And then it says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. You know, so we pray to God and he answers our prayers and we glorify him. It's pretty simple. That's a pretty simple formula. We pray, we see answers, we get blessed and we glorify him and tell everybody. Wow, look what God did for me. So what's available? Then, of course, how do we receive what we pray for? Well, we already saw in Matthew that when we pray, we are to believe. And we know that believing is receiving. So let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which actually Christ is not in the text. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, the power of God is when you believe the word of God, it is the power of God. And you know, when we pray for things that are in the word and ask for things that are in the word, and we're believing the word of God, aren't we? You know, if God says he'll heal us and we need to be healed and we pray for it, then we get it because we believe. But it takes the believing. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 14 says, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. Him being Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ was not with them. He came and his disciples were there. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless or unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with thee, or be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. They brought the child unto Jesus Christ. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, or of infancy. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You know, that's a pretty harsh thing, isn't it? You know, when you have a little infant and, you know, you just want that baby to be perfect. And if it's not perfect, you'll do anything to make it perfect, right? But when it's, you know, and, you know, we've had little things with our grandkids a couple times, and I'd never forget Jeffrey. Jeffrey had what's called a hydroseal. You know what a hydroseal is? It's like a
hole in
the sac. It's a hole in the sac, yeah, where it fills up with fluid, you know, from your abdomen. It didn't close up.
It's supposed to close up at birth.
Yeah, it's supposed to close up. It's kind of like a hernia. Okay? So he was like, I don't know, 2 months old, we went to a thing, and Dr. Weingartner was there, and we had him examine him because he was a surgeon. And he said, well, yeah, I'll have to have it operated on. So then there was another believer doctor there, Dr. Belangi. And he takes Stella aside and me aside, and he goes, listen, he probably will have to have surgery, but, you know, God could heal him. So in the meantime, so the next time Stella took him to the pediatrician, it was gone.
Wow.
You know, we prayed, we believed, and God healed him. You know, but it's really a hard thing with a baby. You don't want to see a baby have to go through anything. So, just and this guy here, this baby was having, this wasn't a little thing. This was severe. This was bad. Throwing him in the fire and the waters. Jesus said unto him, okay, well, let's see. But if thou canst do anything, let's go back and read verse 22 again. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believeth. But again, it has to be according to what? God's word. You know, we understand that from our scope and range of the Bible, right? And we read it in 1 John 5. It has to be according to his will. It has to be according to what's available. It has to be according to what God says he will do. But of all those things, God can do it, right? And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto him, this can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Wow. Prayer and fasting. You know, it's two things. Number one, the guy said, help mine unbelief. You know, sometimes if you're having a problem, you can pray to God and say, you know, okay, God, help me with my unbelief. I need to believe. Show me how to believe in this situation. You know, that's something that you can pray for. That's available. Let's go to Isaiah 58. What is prayer and fasting? Well, we know what prayer is. Fasting is always generally thought of as abstinence from food, which in some instances it is. But there's more to it than that. Isaiah 58, verse 1. This is really a cool section. And it says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, you know, Israel, Jacob, they seek God daily, and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not. So what are they doing? They're doing all the religious stuff. They're doing all the ordinances, you know. They're going before God with all the flowery prayers, and they're looking really good. And they're taking great delight, you know. They're proud of approaching God. And then when they fast, they say, how come you haven't recognized our fasting, God? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? You know, we're really afflicting ourselves. We're suffering for you, God, and you're not acknowledging. Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. And God says, you know, you're getting all your pleasure. You're doing all this, and that's your pleasure. You're afflicting yourself, and that's what you're going to get out of it. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. You know, because you fast and stuff, that doesn't mean I'm going to hear you, because you're not doing it for the right reasons. You don't have the right heart. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? Is that what I asked people to do? Did I ask you to starve yourself and afflict yourself and torture yourself? Kind of reminds me of, I remember reading about Martin Luther when he became a priest, and he would live in this, you know, he was, you know, an ascetic. He would beat himself at night because he didn't think he was worthy of receiving from God. He would take a whip and beat his back, his bare back, and he would lay on the cold stone at night because he thought, I gotta earn my way here. I got to atone for my sins. Then he figured it out. He said, oh, I have to believe. It's a good thing he didn't die first, isn't it?
Yeah.
He says, this fast I have chosen, a day for man to afflict his soul, is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and shine health, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward.
It's
pretty cool. So, you know, when Jesus Christ said, it's by prayer and fasting, it wasn't just, you know, well, they go off and abstain from food, but it was that they had that heart and desire to serve God and help people. It was, you know, it wasn't just, it was more of a dedication to serve God. It's kind of cool. Nothing wrong. I mean, sometimes, you know, people will fast and just spend time with God. I get that. But it's not a religious thing. Let's go back to James, way in the back. The Epistle of James. This is kind of cool in the beginning. Chapter 1, it says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. Yeah, that's a great thing, you know. We talk about knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is, you know, getting knowledge. We learn about things, and then wisdom is what to do with that knowledge, right? The correct use of that knowledge is wisdom. Let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in believing, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Wow. You know, that's pretty cool, though. It says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. Well, when we ask God, what are we doing? We're praying, right? We're praying. It doesn't use the word prayer, but we're praying. What a great thing. We pray to God according to his will and his word, and we believe that he will do what he says he will do. It's great. And then what do we do with it after we get what we receive? Well, we use it the way God intends us to use it. We are to be good stewards of everything that God gives us, right? Let's go back to Ephesians again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. It's pretty great. We're to conduct our lives in a godly manner. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, it says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now we have this is in the context of the return of Christ, right? And the gathering of the church. But you know, along the way, so we have the absolute final victory. But along the way, say you get sick. Well, and you get healed. Isn't that a victory? Mm-hmm. It's a little victory. Lots of little victories build up to big victories. But why do we want to be healed? Well, it should be so that we can serve the Lord better, so we can do for God, so we don't get held back by, oh, man, I'm so tired, I'm worn out, my back is killing me, I just can't do this today. You know, we want to get healed, we want to be healthy. Why? So we can serve God better, so we can bless people. That's why. Abounding in the work of the Lord. That's the real reason. Why do we want prosperity? Well, so we can give to him that have not, it says in Ephesians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians 9, it says, we're blessed and so we can abound unto every good work, right? And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You know, he blesses us. You know, we pray and thank God for his prosperity. Well, what are we supposed to do with that prosperity? Squirrel it away for a rainy day. Well, you know, you're to be wise with your money, right? But if you have money in the bank and somebody really needs help, then you can help them. You can bless them. What a cool thing. Then, of course, our wants and needs are to be parallel. What you want should be lined up with what you need and with God's word. Back to James. You know, this is a weird section here. I threw it in here. Greg will correct me if I'm wrong. But it's, you know, it's really that people are off the wall with stuff. It says in verse 2 of chapter 4 of James, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight more, yet ye have not, because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. You know, the Word of God talks a lot about lusts, and we talk about wants and needs. We could want anything. I mean, I remember Dr. Will used to say, enough for every man is always more than he has. And that's really kind of true. You know, we get something, you know, oh, I always wanted this. And then you get it, and you go, okay, that's great. And then you want something else. I mean, I get it. I mean, none of us are immune to that. None of us. But, and you know, when it gets out of bounds, it becomes what we call lust, right? It's lust when we have an over desire for things, especially things of the flesh, things in the material realm. But we have not a lot of times because we ask not or we ask amiss, you know? And it's really interesting, and it's a really, you have to just be honest with yourself and say, well, what really do I need? What's really a legitimate need? So sometimes we have to also remember, though, that nothing is too big or too small for God. So that's the other thing. We can go, you know, one way where we ask for too much, and we go the other way where we don't ask for what we really need, right? Because we don't think, oh, I don't want to bother God about that. But why not? God wants to bless us. He wants to take care of us. Let's go to Psalm 37. Again, I think in Psalms, it's some of the Psalms, David is really great about praying for things and wanting things. And Psalm 37, verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shall ye dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So, you know, one of our basic needs is what? Food. Food, shelter, and clothing are the three basic needs we all have. Now, obviously, in our modern society, a lot of times within the shelter, what do we need, especially where we live? Well, we need heat, you know. We need electricity. We need running water. That's all part of that shelter. But anyway, it says, thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And the word desires is the word petitions. It's the word petition or request.
In this verse.
And this word is, from what I could see, was only used two times in the Bible. It's used petition, I think, in Psalm 2 or something, or Psalm 6. So, we delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give us the requests of our heart. But again, it has to line up with his word. It's not going to be out of bounds. It's not going to be, you know, nutty stuff. You know, it's interesting when you think about Abraham never asked God. God made all these promises, and Abraham hadn't, as far as we know, asked him for anything. And then when he makes all these promises and he says, you know, your seed's going to be like the sand of the sea and you're going to get this promised land, he says, well, how about if I have a son? So he didn't ask to become rich. He didn't ask to have huge herds and servants and handmaids and all the other stuff. He just asked for a son. And he got it, but he got all the other stuff too. Solomon didn't ask to be rich. He asked for wisdom to judge God's people. David didn't ask to be made king. You know, he was happy being a shepherd. So, but when we delight ourselves in the Lord, he gives us the requests of our heart, the petitions of our heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also him in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness. Verse 7, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You know, sometimes we see the natural man, the unbeliever, the God rejecter, and they're making all this money and they live these ridiculous lifestyles, you know. It blows my mind that these guys sing rap music and they're billionaires. Jay-Z, right? He's a billionaire. I mean, he's a smart guy as far as his money is concerned, but crazy. Let's go down to verse 16. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. So sometimes we can't always look at things in sense knowledge. We just know that God's going to bless us beyond what we can imagine. And he takes care of us always. And then finally, God's willingness is equal to his ability. In Numbers, it says what? It says, God is not a man that he should lie. What he says, he will do. And then let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Is that right? He staggered not, speaking of Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. God was able to perform what he promised. God always does what he says he's going to do. And he can do it. Pretty cool. And then chapter 8. Let's go to chapter 8. We're going to close there. Just look at a couple of verses. In verse 14 of chapter 8, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again the fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And you know, one of the greatest things about prayer is that we have Holy Spirit and we can pray not just with our understanding, but with our spirit. And that spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are his children. We have that intimate relationship, that close relationship with God. And then in verse 26, it says, Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth that what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So sometimes we don't know what to pray for, but we can speak in tongues. And the Spirit knows what we need. We have weaknesses. We have shortcomings. And God's Spirit in us works. And it makes intercession for us. What a great thing. So, you know, God covered every base. There were no loopholes. There was no way we could miss. What a great thing. So, amen and amen. That's where we're going to stop. But, you know, sometimes we don't know if something's available, right? Well, if you don't know it's available, then what do? You go for it. You pray. But you also have to be willing to receive God's answer, right? You know, and he could say yes and he could say no. So you accept what he says. When he says yes, yippee. If he says no, you say, well, thank you, Lord. You know better than me. And move on. What a great God. But he can do beyond what we ask or think. So, and he does want to bless us. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to enjoy our lives and our walk with him. So God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the joy it is that we can come before you in prayer all the time, anytime, that we can go face to face with you, that we can come before your throne of grace and obtain mercy and grace in time of need. We thank you, Father, that you are a loving God and a loving Father and a tender Father to each and every one of us, and that you always hear our prayers, and that you can just help us and teach us and show us as we walk through this life that we can get better and more confident in everything we do. And it's according to your word we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.